Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Now, there's a lot of land between sustainability as a buzzword and the things we need to do to really operate a sustainable economy. That's where Professor Roland Clift resides as the Director of the Centre for Environmental Strategy at the University of Surrey. He's in the country and with us now. Well, welcome, Roland. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, among other things, you've been president of the Industrial Ecology Society. What is industrial ecology?
An industrial ecology is not a well-known academic discipline, but it's an area of research and practice that brings together a whole lot of different disciplines. For example, I'm originally a chemical engineer, and what I tell my chemical engineering colleagues is that chemical engineering is about managing flows of materials and energy and transformations inside pipes. Industrial ecology is about managing flows and transformations, but in the economy, not inside pipes. So one way of looking at it is it's applying engineering principles, but to the economy as a whole.
How important is it in that context, the idea that when we make things, we do so with an idea of what happens after they're no longer useful? Is that a key part of it?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. And I'd go beyond that, and I'd say it's very important when you make or use something to think about where it came from, what happened to it along the line, and what happens to it after you've finished with it. So the kind of industrial management which industrial ecology leads into is much more than managing the operations of a factory or a process. It's about managing the whole supply chain.
I fancy that a lot of us think we're doing the right thing and we're doing our part when we throw things in the recycling bin. But you've been critical of conventional recycling practices in the past, haven't you?
I have. I've been conventional of some of the supposedly established wisdom. And what I've been saying is that you have to look at the local context, and it may well be that, for example, recycling paper is not the best thing to do with it in environmental terms. You may be better off using it as a fuel.
Just burning it.
Burning it, exactly, provided you use the heat.
Is that depending on whether you need in your local society more heat?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it also depends on what energy source you're displacing by using it. For example, in the UK, I mean, I'm not so sure about New Zealand. I'm reluctant to say anything about it because I'm not clear enough on the local context. But in the UK, there's a very powerful argument that we ought to be using paper as a source for heat in buildings rather than using what we do at the moment, which is gas, which is obviously a non-renewable resource. So there's an argument that in the UK we ought to go in the sort of direction which they've developed very effectively in the Scandinavian countries in particular, where you collect up the waste and you use it to generate heat, which you distribute as heat to the buildings. And that way you displace the use of fossil fuels.
Which is interesting because I think we're used to thinking of burning things as bad.
Mm. Oh, right. And a lot of the NGOs still take that attitude. Now, I think they're actually wising up. So my take on this is that you have to look at the whole system. That's what industrial ecology is about. And you have to ask, just burning it, well, that's really not the point. What do you do with the energy that you release by burning it? If you use that properly, you're displacing some other form of energy. And it may well be that that is beneficial to the environment.
Because you only have to look as far, with a group of friends and an open fire, chuck a plastic bag on there and see the reaction you get from
people.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, sure.
as though you've just, just sort of a bit of nuclear fission's just taking place in front of them.
And I'm certainly not in favour of that. I mean, about the worst thing anybody could do would be to burn wet leaves in a PVC bag. that's the other argument for doing this in properly controlled industrial plants.
So are there, for example, do you advocate burning plastic?
It depends on the plastic.
And
you have to get down to that level of detail.
And the way in which you burn it?
The way in which you burn it is certainly critical. You have to burn it in a properly controlled combustion environment with gas cleaning on the end of it. And that says things about the scale on which you do it, because you can't afford to put good gas cleaning equipment on a very small plant.
No. Or on your own chimney.
Or on your own chimney, exactly, which is another argument for having centralised heating plants rather than boilers in everybody's homes. But you have to look at which plastic it is. And ideally, you try to keep plastics separate from each other so that you can recycle them. But if you end up with a mixed stream of, say, waste plastic packaging, there's not much you can do with that except actually use as a fuel.
Now, one of the things you're talking about while you're here is the self-chilling drink can, which again sounds counterintuitive. We're used to thinking that, loading things into the packaging is a bad thing, but it's not.
Yeah, well, see, this is actually a very interesting one. It's one I've been involved with on and off for about 15 years. And if you like, I'll tell you a bit about the story because it's got some interesting morals in it. It came about from a very enterprising character in California who owns a drinks canning business called the Joseph Company. And he came up with the idea of a can which would chill on demand. And his original idea was to use a refrigerant. So when you pull the plug, you release the refrigerant and it chills the can down. Now, what he didn't know, and this was genuinely, he simply didn't know, was that the carbon dioxide equivalent, the greenhouse warming potential of that refrigerant, would be absolutely horrific. So if everybody on the planet used one of those, two of those cans per week.
Is this a Freon sort of?
It was a Freon. It was an HFC. R134, if you we'll get the detail.
I'll make a note.
Yeah. Okay. If everybody on the planet used two of these per week, it would double anthropogenic contribution of climate change. So, it wasn't that he brought this out with the intention of wrecking the planet. He just plain didn't know. Now, by a rather circuitous route, he got onto me. We met. The thing was actually banned in Europe. And the UK Department of the Environment encouraged him to come up with an alternative and also encouraged him to have me and my colleagues do a proper assessment of its environmental impact. So what we came up with, working together, was a completely different way of chilling the thing. So rather than using a refrigerant, you use carbon dioxide, which is adsorbed onto a solid which you put in the can. You recover the carbon dioxide from a chemical plant where it will be released into the atmosphere anyway, so you're not generating extra greenhouse gas there. And the chilling unit, which is a sort of internal can, contains the carbon dioxide adsorbed onto the solid. So like with the refrigerant, you pull the plug and it cools down as the carbon vaporizes off the surface of the solid. Well, we went through a lot of very detailed calculations. Basically, what we concluded was that provided that you got the carbon dioxide, which would have been released anyway, you got the carbon from natural sources, and what we're actually using is activated carbon from coconut shells, which is a waste, you recover and recycle the aluminium, and provided you do all those things correctly, then the overall environmental impact is pretty much the same as a can which is kept in your refrigerator at home. But when you look at other alternatives, I mean, how many vending machines are well maintained? The answer, not many. So the real environmental advantage for this thing comes in places where people want chilled drinks anyway, but would buy them out of badly maintained chilled dispensers. So our objective, I have to say, is to try and displace all the chilled dispensers in the world. And that will actually have environmental benefits.
So the key here seems to be not looking at things in isolation, but looking at, say, you know, where that carbon would have gone if it hadn't been captured. So this is obviously
part of the same thing of looking at the whole supply chain and managing the whole supply chain.
You've arrived in New Zealand at a great time because in Auckland particularly, we're undergoing our inorganic rubbish collection at the moment.
Now, are you?
I don't know if you have this where you come from in Surrey, but...
It's a great cultural festival.
Everyone chucks their stuff out in the front yard.
Is this a monthly thing?
No, it's every 2 or 3 years. All the stuff that you've got stored under the house, you chuck on the front curb, the neighbourhood pick over it for a while, in the most sort of organic process of stripping out some wire and a bit of this and a bit of that, and it eventually, what no one wants, the council come around and collects, about a week later. Yeah. How does that work?
That's a great scheme. You see, this is what happens in African countries, to be honest. We have people employed to do this kind of thing. Now, if you can actually put it out on the pavement and get the local people to do it for themselves, that's great. I mean, I've met this in Vancouver. I spend a lot of time in Vancouver because my kids live there and they have a similar arrangement there. And my son furnished his apartment pretty well from stuff which he got with other people to chat out. Great. Absolutely great.
All right. Well, look, I think that's all we've got time for. It's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you very much for coming along.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Professor Roland Clift there. After the break, all the action at the Cocktail World Cup and Shapeshifter have a new album. It's The Remix.